Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
In our first weekly interview, I spoke to Labor MP Andrew Little about the New Zealand Defence Force's ongoing support for regions affected by Cyclone Gabrielle and the recent controversy surrounding public service employees and their code of conduct enforcing political neutrality. I started out by asking what ongoing support New Zealand Defence Force is still providing to flood-affected regions.
They are, but they're in fewer numbers than what they were like a couple of weeks ago. So a couple of weeks ago, there was about 950 personnel on the ground and doing various things, and there were ships and helicopters, and they had airplanes moving goods and what have you. So 2 weeks on, the numbers have reduced. We're at just over 200 people there now. The ships aren't there, but helicopters are still around. Really the role that the Defence Force plays is in the early stages of a disaster like this to make sure that people are safe and secure, and working with the civilian agencies to make sure people are looked after, make sure that roads can be opened and that structures and what have you are safe. Once that is done, then they tend to get out of the picture and leave it to civilian agencies to do the remaining work. So the numbers will continue to fall as the place becomes more functional, more operational, and people are safe and secure.
How far along is that recovery effort from a New Zealand Defence Force standpoint? You mentioned 200. What work are those defence staff engaged in currently?
So they're mainly making sure that supplies get to isolated communities. There are still communities who roads are impassable, bridges are down, so they're making sure that that is happening, and people who need medical attention are getting it. They're moving civilian personnel around to do that. I think there was a big distribution centre that was operating out of the Hastings racecourse, that I think, or the A&P grounds at least, that I think has wound down quite a bit as you know, shops are open and people can get access to supplies. So they will reduce their involvement in those sorts of activities. So it's where people are still needing urgent access, they're still providing that.
I think moving on from New Zealand Defence Force, there's been recent discussion, to put it lightly, of public service employees and their code of conduct. I'm of course referring to Rob Campbell, Steve Mahery and Ruth Dyson, and the focus placed on them regarding their alleged breaches of political neutrality. Do you think their comments crossed the line?
That's certainly been the judgment of less in relation to Rob Campbell and Steve Mahery. That was the judgment of the Public Service Commission. I think it's the obligation around political neutrality is pretty clear. It's in the legislation that covers the public service, which doesn't just include public service employees, but includes board members of Crown entities, which Rob Campbell, Steve Mahery and Ruth Dyson all are. In the end, it's four ministers responsible for the various entities to make a judgment call about what they do in the face of a finding that a board member has crossed the line, and that has led to different outcomes, you know, compared to Rob Campbell and Steve Mahery and for that matter, Ruth Dyson. But the code of conduct is there, the rule is there, it's in the statute. It is, you know, the reason for the principle about political neutrality is a matter of public confidence in those entities. We want board members and the leaders of those entities focused on the function that they're set up for. We don't need party political broadcasts from people, whatever their political allegiance is. And so that principle has got to be observed.
In Campbell and Dyson's case, the focus has been on their social media posts. Has the Public Service Code of Conduct been updated in recent years to reflect the rise of social media? And if not, is that something you'd want to change?
Yeah, I think my expectation is that when board members, particularly newly appointed board members, take up their role, they get an induction. And in this day and age, you know, I expect, because most people do have some sort of social media engagement, is that they are given advice about how to sort of conduct themselves appropriately. The reality is, when you take on a public service role, whether it's as a board member or an employee, there are going to be constraints on what you can do or what you can do openly and overtly. It doesn't stop people having political views. Of course, people are going to have their own views about it. But if you're in a public role, in a public position, that is not an elected role, then you've got to constrain yourself appropriately. And I think just getting guidance on that, and it doesn't matter whether it's an expression on social media or a column in a newspaper, if it's on a public platform, then then you have to think carefully about what it is you're saying and doing. Private conversations, no one's monitoring that, and people are going to have their own private views, but it's what you do that faces the public that that counts the most.
Many public service employees have come from backgrounds like Parliament or previous work inside political parties. Is there a middle ground in regards to making these sorts of statements, like they were related to their kind of their role, or do you expect complete public neutrality?
Look, the reality is everybody's going to have a view on something one way or another, and you know, many people's views on a particular issue will be informed by a set of political values or principles that they have. That's just the reality. When it comes to being in a public role, you know, the government of the day gets to make decisions and based on, you know, whatever they base that on, and then it's important that those decisions are then implemented. If it's establishing a new organisation, a new Crown entity to follow through a particular program, then you want, you know, the people who are responsible for the governance of that entity to understand too that their job is to make sure that that entity does the job that it's set up for. And in doing that, they've got to maintain public confidence in that entity. So, you know, but you look around, you see there are people of all sorts of stripes appointed to boards or employed to run organisations. I know in the time I've been a minister, I've appointed people from, you know, all sides of the house and on public board roles. Put Amy Adams on the former National Party Cabinet Minister on the board of Te Whatu Ora Health New Zealand. I was the one who appointed Rob because I wanted his sort of independence and his intellect to bear upon that organisation. I appointed Chester Burrows to lead the expert or the independent advisory group on our criminal justice reform. He's a former National Party Cabinet Minister, but he had a very, you know, challenging view, I think, about what had to be done in criminal justice. Didn't necessarily square with the National of the day, not sure it necessarily squared with a lot of what Labor thought either, but it was solutions-focused. So I think, you know, we do live in a system where we can draw on all those different strands of thought and political thought, but when you do expect people, when they are in public roles, to conduct themselves appropriately. And calling out and criticising individual politicians is not a helpful way to maintain public confidence in the job that they're called upon to do.
Yes, speaking of Rob Campbell, you were instrumental in appointing him to head of Te Whatu Ora in 2021, and he was previously warned multiple times for breaching political neutrality. Do you think there's a future for Campbell in a future role?
Look, that's a really a matter for Rob. You know, Rob is, you know, I have a huge respect for Rob and his intellect and what he brings. I think Rob struggled with the idea that being in a public role, a publicly funded role and on a publicly funded organisation, meant that there were some constraints needed to be applied to some of the things he was used to doing and that you might otherwise do. I think that's what he really struggled with. Look, he's always going to be a man of ideas, and he's probably going to be one of those people who won't hold back his ideas. The question is, as a public board or a public role suited to him and the way he wants to go about those sorts of things. And I think my colleague, Aisha Viral, as the health minister, sort of came to the view that perhaps the role wasn't best suited to him, and she made the decision accordingly.
I think more generally, how much do you think this concern about political neutrality is politicking from the right block? I think previously in 2013, Brent Leighton made comments as head of the Electricity Commission targeting Labour MPs and Green MPs for their electrical or electricity policy plan, and he saw no punishment for that.
I'm aware of that particular case, and I think that the fact that nothing happened doesn't make that right, of course. I think in Labour we do take these sorts of things seriously. It was the Public Service Act, which is legislation that this government has put in place. It's the Public Service Act 2020. We made it very clear that one of the guiding principles of the public service is political neutrality. It has to be because, you know, it's the public service, whether it's, as I say, employees or board members of Crown entities, they continue in life even after a change of government. And governments of whatever stripe have to have confidence that the public service or Crown entities, regardless, will serve, you know, the government of the day appropriately and professionally and what have you. So you've got to maintain that sort of standard. It goes with a liberal democracy, or our form of liberal democracy, where our governments do change, but you know, the public servants and publicly appointed board members typically continue in office even after a change of government. In order for that to work, there does have to be adherence to that basic principle to maintain public confidence in them.
That was our weekly chat with Andrew Little.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.